Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, I'm pleased to say, joined as we are each week by Bill Gertz, one of the country's foremost national security journalists, a man who has distinguished himself in both the Washington Times with his prize-winning Inside the Ring column and also as a senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon. He's also the author of 6 best-selling books on various aspects of our national security, including The Failure Factory. Bill Gertz, welcome back. It's good to have you with us as always.
Hi, Frank. Always good to be on the show.
I don't know where to begin, Bill. There's such a target-rich environment here, in a manner of speaking. Let me talk about something that you didn't actually write about, but I'd like to get your thoughts on it, given all the writing and great work you've been doing on various aspects of this. That is, the New York Times last week reported that there's a new kind of almost Cold War-style arms race underway, and the Russians and Chinese are being impelled to build up their nuclear arsenals because of the buildup of ours. Would you do a sanity check on that for me? Doesn't sound right.
Yeah, this is definitely part of the kind of anti-nuclear sentiment, which is one of the key features of the left, liberal left media on anything related to nuclear. It's always trying to blame the U.S. I read the piece by William Broad, who's there, and David Sanger, and they're basically blaming the U.S. for the military and nuclear buildup by Russia and China, which is total nonsense, because the entire focus of the U.S. under President Obama has been to not only eliminate all nuclear weapons, but to reduce the position of nuclear weapons in the entire U.S. strategy. In other words, it's kind of the anti-nuclear madness come to fruition. And the adversaries, Russia and China in particular, have taken notice of that and said, hey, it's a green light. Let's go ahead and build up our nuclear forces. And the Russians are doing it in a very aggressive way in terms of large-scale modernization of across a number of platforms, from bombers, submarines, new missiles, including a new heavy ICBM that's going to be coming online, as well as the development of missile defense, defeating hypersonic missiles.
Yeah. Bill, I don't think anybody's done anything remotely like the reporting you've done on this hypersonic missile threat and how it's materializing under our noses, both in Russia and in China. Give us a flavor of what it means from a strategic point of view if one or both of these countries actually begin fielding these sorts of very high-speed maneuvering systems.
Well, I would quote the Russian chief of staff 3 years ago, Gerasimov, General Gerasimov. He said that whoever masters hypersonic technology will rule the day. And basically, he was talking about, he said that the development of these maneuvering ultra-high-speed strike vehicles, which travel at 5 to 10 times the speed of sound, up to 7,000 miles an hour, would basically have a strategic advantage over all their adversaries. So this is really part of what I call the hypersonic arms race. And of course, the Obama administration is averse to anything that would put the U.S. in a position of leading on countering threats and strategic stability. Again, their mode is arms talks and reductions of nuclear weapons, and it's been very damaging to our ability to sustain nuclear deterrence. They've cut our nuclear forces significantly under the New START Treaty. At the same time, the Russians are over the limit for the New START Treaty with about a year left for them to reduce those arsenals. And there's talk in the Russian state-run press that they're going to just abandon the entire New START Treaty. So that would, again, give them a strategic advantage. For the Chinese, we see a major strategic forces build up, which is most noticeably their multiple warheads, going from single warhead, large single warhead missiles to multiple warhead missiles. They just recently tested a DF-41, their newest and longest range missile with 2 warheads. It will be deployed soon with up to 10 warheads. And so we're seeing a major strategic imbalance developing between the U.S. and both Russia and China.
Including in this hypersonic space. I guess we have a developmental system, but it sounds as though it's not very far along, and it certainly has not been unblemished by success in its test program. Is that right, Bill?
Right. At the House Armed Services Strategic Forces Subcommittee last week, the subcommittee chairman, Mike Rogers from Alabama, asked Vice Admiral Searing, the head of the Missile Defense Agency, what about the China and Russia hypersonic program? Are you funded to deal with it? And he said no. He said they've put $23 million into this current budget to deal with that, and it looks like they're going to try to use lasers on aircraft or drones to counter hypersonic threats. Very difficult challenge. Again, at the high speeds that these hypersonic vehicles go, it's very difficult to counter them. And lasers require a long time on target to disrupt or damage a warhead or a missile.
Right, and a lot of energy to boot. It's got to be a pretty high power laser. Bill, the thing that's so troubling about this, and it goes back to some of the arms control nostrums of this administration, is if I take all that you've just said, and I think it's absolutely right, but taking it at face value, what it sounds as though the president's been doing is ridding the world of nuclear weapons, starting with ours, and that the other guys are not following suit. In fact, the threats are growing. And one of the hardy perennials, as you know, of the arms controllers for years has been this notion that if we de-MIRV, as they call it, remove all of those independently targetable warheads from a ballistic missile delivery system, that that will be a stabilizing thing. We've done that on our side, as I understand it. We've eliminated our largest MIRVed weapon, the MX missile. But what does it mean, as you understand it, or as your sources inside the Pentagon see it, to have the Russians and the Chinese now making serious new efforts at MIRVing their systems?
I think it's creating a much greater strategic instability. And we've heard a little bit of this from the U.S. Strategic Command Commander Admiral Haney, who's talked about these developments as being very destabilizing. What the Obama administration has been pushing is this notion of conventional prompt global strike, the idea being that we can use conventional weapons as a strategic counterbalance to these nuclear forces. I'm not sure that's going to work. That's totally untested. The latest iteration is that they're going to try and use cyber attacks, what they call this left of launch capability, the idea that if we can get inside their launch controls and other preparations for missiles and disrupt that, when they press the button, they won't even be able to launch off the ground. And then whatever they do get off, we'll get with our remaining mid-course and terminal missile defenses. But it's I think it's a big gamble, and I think it's a dangerous gamble on the part of the administration that they're not willing, even though they recognize the need, that we have to invest billions in modernizing our nuclear forces.
Right. And we have to be about it rather quickly, because they are atrophying out from under us. Bill, just very quickly, in the last minute we have, you've written about General Vincent Brooks and his assessment of the dictator of North Korea as he assumes command of our forces on the Korean Peninsula. Give us a readout on that and what he should be heard to be saying about the threat there.
Yes, General Brooks was before the Senate Armed Services Committee this week on his nomination to be the new U.S. Forces Korea commander. And tucked away in his written answers to the committee was a very detailed assessment of the threat posed by Kim Jong-un, and saying how he is much more dangerous than his father, that he's totally ready to take high risks. He's upped the rhetoric, and he's conducted a mass purge of some 70 officials. So there's a real concern that this guy is increasingly dangerous, and more dangerous than his father, Kim Jong-il, who he replaced back in 2011.
Which was saying something. Needless to say, further evidence, as we've shared throughout the program, indeed as we share throughout the program day after day, really, of the fact that this is a dangerous world. Nobody reports on it better than you. Bill Gertz at the Washington Times and the Washington Free Beacon, thanks as always for joining us this week. We'll look forward to our visit Friday next week. In the meantime, I hope that you'll stay well, and that the rest of you will join us again on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.